Anyway, we're going to go to Psalm 77 today. And I've got a series I'm studying for. I really don't think it's going to be ready until my next month teaching. But I've got a thought here that I think we all need to remember, especially here lately. There's been the past 2 days at the dealership, all you can hear about is the coronavirus. And that's it. That's like the word on everyone's lips. And it's a meltdown. I mean, I have people calling me saying, do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have this? Do you have that? Like, one of my coworkers called me the other night and said, do you have baby wipes? Because I'm standing in front of a full aisle and I'll grab as many as you need. And I'm like, well, I've got some, but thanks for looking out for me. He said, well, I've been to 4 different stores and I bought up all this stuff just in case. And he put a picture on Facebook of his truck just loaded with toilet paper and canned goods and chips. And I'm like, I don't think they understand the epidemic that they're buying into and creating themselves. But what's causing this? What makes people, when they say, look, we're not going to travel for 30 days, we're going to try and keep this like a bad flu. You know, if you're this much, you're at risk. If you're here, you just need to keep an eye out and be clean and wash your hands like you should have been doing in the first place. How does that translate into buy all the toilet paper? Get all the canned goods you can. Get your apocalypse bunker ready because we're heading in there. Fear. Fear-mongering. But we've done it ourselves. I was sitting there listening to the politicians talk about it, the task force they've made up, and they're all fine about it. They're like, well, we're doing this as a precaution, but really, we're doing really good. It hasn't killed this many people, and we're doing it. And they went through and explained the demographic. But still, we as people have decided that it is a time of fear and panic to the fact where Walmart can't even keep up with all their warehouses with people going and buying stuff. Leaving people that actually need stuff without stuff. And leaving the people that need stuff that have to go in there and cause more madness because we just need a few things to make it by. Because some of us are pretty reasonable. But the other night, I went in there to get rice and stuff, and even the rice is gone. We've created a shortage. What causes this?
Misinformation.
Yes, for one, misinformation. It's because we've lost our touch with what we really should be in touch with and are more in touch with the news media and Facebook and all this other stuff that create this panic. Someone puts one picture of a naked steel, no toilet paper or nothing, and everyone panics and goes buy more toilet paper because, oh my goodness, my store's next, and they make it their store next.
Yeah.
They don't trust in the Lord, and I'm actually getting there. We're going to read Psalm number 77, and here David is in the midst of a lot of personal troubles, and right now, especially, we can relate to this with what we're going through, but we can pull from what David did here to help us in what's going on here today. But we're going to read the whole chapter, Psalm 77, starting in verse 1. It says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Think about that a minute. Thou holdest mine eyes wakening. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? In his mercy, clean, gone forever? Doth his promise fail or forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah. Think about those questions. Those are rhetorical questions he's asking. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out waters. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightening the world. Lightened the world, pardon me. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path is in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So in this chapter, there's a lot stated here. You can split it up into about three different parts. And those parts are his cry and his complaints, if you will, the file he has made, the questions, the rhetorical questions he asks in way of helping him remember who his God is, and of course the final part being what his God has done, and that just like the sea and the waters, no one knows his ways or how he works. If you look around today, because of the great pandemic that we've created, there are churches canceled absolutely everywhere. Mm-hmm. All of Texas has canceled services. Half of Missouri has canceled services. Washington has canceled services. And there are places where they've canceled services just as an excuse to not have services. There was a little meme today of a pastor with pajama pants on and a suit top streaming his service saying, "Pastors be like..." Because they only see from here up on his computer screen. So he's wearing pajama bottoms teaching his church. And so we're back to this whole connected deal that we talked about a few weeks ago where, you know, as long as we look the part, we can be the part. And that was funny, but sadly is the truth. I've got several of my Facebook friends who attend churches in larger cities and in Poplar Bluff and all that who have canceled services because of coronavirus. There are no cases of coronavirus close enough to cancel services, but they have done it anyway. Well, there's our pictures of them sitting on the couch taking a picture of their TV screen where they're live casting their services. And it's an empty building and the preacher is there preaching and the worship leaders are on like different Skype call, like a multiple Skype call in order to do this service. So they're going to great lengths. But at the same time, why have we canceled services? We canceled them out of fear. We've canceled them out of our own anxiety. We have canceled them because we've decided it's the best route to go. We have not canceled them because of any real reason. We can still get there. None of us are sick. And there hasn't been any cases. So we have done nothing but buy into the fear-mongering of the news media to find a way to get out of doing church so where we can sit on the couch in our pajamas and watch church. And take the commitment out of it. Take the preparation out of it. Because you can go straight from a cereal bowl to the TV screen. And you can roll out of bed whatever time you want. No one cares because they can't see you. We've taken about every excuse we can to buy into this. Now, usually the caption that accompanies these pictures of them and everything is, "Thank God for Facebook live stream." Most people use it anyway because they only go to church every other Sunday and they take every other Sunday as a, quote, day off from church so that they can relax in Jesus. I tell you, that is not the way to go. No. If look at this chapter here, in the middle of everything that's going through, which was a whole lot worse than news media blowing up a virus, in the middle of all his troubles, he sought God. The beginning of this chapter, you know, even starting in voice one, it says, verse 1, it says, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice." And remember a few months ago, we talked about how repetition, when they wrote songs and poems like this, meant emphasis. He was trying to place emphasis on what he was saying. And also in song, you sang it through twice. And then every now and again, in actually very short intervals than what he usually does, he places that word Selah, stop and think. And meditate on what I just said. Don't sing it like we do hymns and memorize it and it's a good tune, so we sing it. Think about what you just sang. Verse 3, right before the seal, it says, "I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." In dumping out his troubles to God, he was overwhelmed. Because it was more than he could handle as a human being. It was more than what he thought he could handle. And it was more than David as a human could handle. He was attacked on all sides. He was worried on all sides. There was relief nowhere to be found. That's why he went to God. Because that's where he found relief. Right. He remembered God. He sought God. And something we have to remember, especially right now where we're bombarded with these phones and TV and everything and the bad news, is seeking God is it's a conscious decision we have to make every day. Seeking God is not some sort of thing where it's a downhill slope where we get the ball rolling and it just the momentum keeps it going. Momentum is not a factor in the Bible. Momentum is not a factor in everyday spiritual lives. In fact, there is more said about working and reading and studying when it comes to the spiritual life than when it just says, well, once you push it and get the ball rolling, God will keep you going. And all these memes that say that, again, on this Facebook, are not right. When it says, God's got your back, just keep rolling. Happy Sunday. I'm like, I don't want that sent to me. That's offensive to me. It is. I got it this morning. It was like, keep it rolling. I'm like, we don't keep nothing rolling. There is nothing rolling here. Get that out of your mind. Seeking God is a conscious decision we make. You have to open your Bible. You have to meditate. You have to have your spirit in check with what is going on and how you're receiving it mentally and spiritually. Secondly, on the first point, point B, it says he knew who God was. He cried unto God. He remembered God. If I can get my pages to turn here. It says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. He said, my sore ran in the night and it ceased not. He said, that, you know, it's not going very well for me right now. I sought the Lord in my day of trouble, and there was not immediate answer, and my soul refused to be comforted. He did not get instant relief. In this day of instant gratification, you have to understand that the answer from God, what God's doing in your life and what He has for you in your everyday life, is not going to be an immediate answer. You're going to be in troubles. You're going to go through storms. You are going to go through hard times in life and times of panic that you did not cause, but somehow you're stuck in the middle of because now you can't get a roll of toilet paper. But there's not going to be an immediate answer. God's not going to open the windows of heaven and dump toilet paper and rice out of the sky so that you can have some. Mm-hmm. That's just not going to happen. It's not the way it works. That is physical needs that, I mean, you can substitute. It's not pleasant, but you can. You have to remember, this is in the spiritual realm. We're not seeking for physical comfort when we seek God. And if you are, you're doing it wrong.
Yep, that's right.
The church is here not for our comfort, but for our edification.
Right.
And as you may have noticed, our church is not the most comfortable right now. But our spirits are higher than they ever have been. And you got to remember that. When I pulled up to the church today, I remember what you said as soon as I felt it. But I pulled up today, and I've been dreaming about it last night and everything. And I said, it wasn't real until we pulled out. Even walking into it Wednesday night and being a little empty, I was like, okay, yeah, it's happening. But when you pulled up today and realized you're not going in there, you're coming in here. There's nothing wrong with in here. Y'all done an awesome job in here. But it's the fact of the matter that it's happening. But what you got to remember is not that our physical comfort is compromised for a short amount of time and that we have to make a few differences in order to make it work. It's not our comfort. It's God moving.
That's it.
You've got to remember that this is not something that we've decided to do because it's something for our comfort, or because we want to do something great, or we want to leave something. It's God moving and giving us an answer to prayer that we prayed for years and years and years. I can't remember whenever we weren't praying for it. And every move going from the old church to this church and now to on to whatever God has for us now is something huge that we have to remember. But it's not immediate. This is not instant gratification. God didn't give us a building and someone else say, hey, here's a plot of land and some bricks, start building. That's not what's going to happen. We have to be willing to wait on God, even if it's for our even if we're in discomfort while we're waiting. And David knew that. I am not comfortable. I am still in trouble. I don't know the answer. But I know who my God is. And I know what He's going to do. Secondly, he had no doubts about his God. In this time of questioning, It's important to remember that the Bible is not made for questioning, but rather it's full of answers to those questions.
Yep.
Everyone's got a lot of questions, and I think that is part of the hysteria, is that we have a lot of unanswered questions. And in our time of Google and texting, we have no patience for getting an answer. So we panic and do something ourselves, like buy up all the toilet paper. And everyone's made it kind of a joke, really, because it is. It really is a joke. Even if you look at the symptoms of the virus, it has nothing to do with toilet paper or rice.
Yeah.
But it's something to do and something to put on Facebook and make us feel better that we've done something ourselves in our own power to prepare ourselves, to brick ourselves in our house, and protect ourselves from what's coming. That's probably not even coming. We've done it in our own power. We can go out and we can buy it. We have credit cards. We have cash. We can buy it. I can stock up. I'm going to be safe. I'm looking for number one. And don't care about anybody else. That's why the formula is gone. That's why the food is gone. That's why the toilet paper is gone. And only select few have it. David had no doubts about what his God could do and was going to do. And he didn't know what he was going to do, but something was going to happen, good or bad, for David's good. And when he asked these questions, starting in verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promises fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Think about that. In all my troubles, in all my life, in the whole time from the time I was a shepherd, have I known my God and followed him? When has he done any of this? When has God forgotten his tender mercies? When has God forgotten that what we have done and how long we have served and how much I've trusted him? When has he not pulled me through? I may not have liked how he did it, but it was for my good and for his glory. And he's going to trust in that. He knows, he has no doubts that his God will do what is best for him. He had no doubts that whatever happened in his life was ordained by God to happen. If that meant losing his entire family, he was fine with that. He didn't relish the idea, but God knew what it was for, and he was open to what God was teaching him. Us as a church have to have that same mentality. We have to be okay with losing some stuff in our life in order for God to do what he needs to do in our life.
Yep.
We need to be willing to accept that God is not in it for our total comfort. And furthermore, we have to accept that comfort does not teach us anything.
That's right. Yep.
His sore ran in the night and ceased not. He was not comfortable, not healthy, not at all where he wanted to be comfort-wise. And that's just the way it goes. We complain all the time about not having this, not having that, not having money, but all that stuff does is make us comfortable and okay with our life. God is not okay with you being okay with your life. We're after contentment in God, not comfort in life. And the two don't always go hand in hand, where comfort and contentment don't always go hand in hand. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he asked many times for it to be removed before he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." This is going to happen. And if this is the way I need to live my life right now, I'll live it for you with this thorn in my flesh, and I will be content, for your grace is sufficient for me. Not that he could bear the thorn, but that the grace God gave him to be able to learn with that thorn in his side was enough for him. So you have to remember that. Comfort has nothing to do with learning, and oftentimes they don't coincide in the same spot. Number 3, notice one of the few verses that he spent filing his complaint was in there. The first 3 verses, 4 verses, roundabouts, around the first 4 verses, he files a complaint to God while he's crying out to God. He's letting him know, you know what's going on in my life, but I'm going to voice it anyway. I'm going to tell you my troubles. Not in the way of, why have you done this, God, but this is what I'm going through, God. But the majority of the chapter is spent remembering the goodness of God. Verses 5 and all the way down has nothing to do with his troubles. We have got 20 verses in this chapter, and only 1 through 4 state his problem to God. The remaining 16 verses are calling into question what he already knows to be true. Those rhetorical questions. What he's going to remember. I will remember the works of the Lord, 11 says. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You see, we've gone from, these are my troubles. This is who you are. I'm not going to sit here and dwell on my troubles. I'm not going to sit here and think about the coronavirus coming and killing us all. I'm not going to go think of how the toilet paper shortage is going to affect our economy. I'm not going to cancel all my plans because of a coronavirus. I'm not going to cancel my plans to go to work today, call in and go to the store and buy up everything, because that's not what we do. We need to meditate on the works of God and think about what he's done and what he will do. And that this panic that everybody's feeling is because they never had a comforter in the first place.
Yeah, that's right.
God said he would send the comforter. Now, does that mean comforter in sorrows? Yes. Comforter in times of great need? That is also correct. But the comforter is for the everyday. Not the comfort that there is plenty of money in your bank account. Not the comfort that there will be no troubles in your life at all. But that in every situation, there will be comfort. And that God is still God, and God still knows and is in control. The song Count Your Blessings comes to mind with this, because that's what he did. He said, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. He will think about it, meditate on it, focus on it, and talk about it. He's not going to sit here and talk about how we're all going to die. He's not going to sit here and talk about how I'm out of beans and I cannot get any more, which is a tragedy. But he is going to talk about how good God is and the great care he's taken to give us what we, not what we want, but what we need every day. We may be a little hungry, but if you look at me, you can tell I could probably go a few days without some food and be fine. We are all not going to die, we're not going to die of starvation because we miss a meal or two. Because God has provided already that we are completely fine. Even if we're eating bread and water every day, that is sustenance. God has given that. We ought to be thankful instead of grumbling. We have Facebook, the news outlets, and other family members to remind us of everything going wrong in the world around us. But David didn't focus on that. I'm sure his advisors were there to tell him how terrible everything was going in the kingdom, and how this person was doing that, and they're plotting against you, and they're trying to overthrow you, they're trying to kill you. I mean, I'm sure he had enough people around him telling him what was going on. He did not need the daily newspaper to know what everything was going on, because everybody talked about it. Everybody knew about it. We don't need to tell each other about how stupid everyone is being every moment of our lives. We don't need to focus on that. And I told somebody at work that yesterday. They come over and start, hey, you see this? I said, yes, I saw that. And they start elaborating on it. I really don't need that if you don't mind. And they said, aren't you worried about this? I said, no, not particularly. To which I was shunned, and he went on to the next person who would freak out with him.
Yeah.
But the answer of no, not particularly, I'm not concerned about it. I am cautious. I am washing my hands more than I ever have. But that is simply being in your right mind and knowing what to do. Yeah. Because other people are not clean. Any men's bathroom in the United States can tell you that. You need to be clean. But should we freak out? And should I have my drawer stuffed full of hand sanitizer? And should I be like disinfecting every time someone sits at my desk? Probably not. Probably so. But I have no reason to freak out because my God is in control. I'm doing what I can do physically to prevent sickness. But there is no way to avoid, if God has ordained me getting coronavirus and dying, You can do what you do to prevent it, and you can be smart about it, and you can not go out to eat so much.
Yeah, well, there's a starter.
That's a real good starter, because how do you think it's spreading? Mm-hmm. There's a rumor of a certain Chinese restaurant in Poplar Bluff that owner's daughter come back from China and contracted the coronavirus, and people are still eating at that restaurant. But we're buying up toilet paper and Germax. We need to be smart. Just be smart about it. But trust God with it. There's no way to know what's going to happen in the future.
They did the very same thing with the Asian flu.
Yes, very same thing.
40 years ago, I had an appendicitis operation, and I had the Asian flu. But on top of an appendicitis operation. But I lived over it.
And here you sit today.
Yeah, I lived over it.
But there's a chart of all the epidemics that people list through the years. And there was another meme that said, I don't want to brag, but this is the 10th end of the world I've lived through.
Yeah.
And we have a new one about every election year or so. And that's all it's for. You know, if we're riding on economy to win an election, let's ruin the economy. But that's a whole other topic. We've got to be smart about it. If we're meant to die, God's ordained it. Just be smart about it. David here knew that. He didn't focus on all the negativity everyone was telling him. This is not a bright sunshine sermon where we say, kick the negativity out of your life, cut off those poisonous people and forget. You know, that's not the way we're operating. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, the world is telling you what they want you to hear. The news outlets are telling you what the teleprompter is telling them to say to stir fear within you. And if you notice, people say, wow, three more people died today. And they're telling the same story from that morning. They're just retelling it. And so instead of three people dying, well, now nine people have died over the course of a day. And we buy into it because that's all we watch all day long. And that's all we want to look at. People post these satire articles and stir up fear and everything else about how everyone's dying. I clicked on one, it said coronavirus kills 100 in New Mexico. And someone was like, oh my goodness. And they posted, it had like 500 shares. Babylon Bee.
It was satirical.
Babylon Bee. That is satire site. It even says on there, political satire. It's not true. But everyone just, they just read the headline and freak out. Because that is what they live off of. Drama and fear and death and whatever they can get their hands on to just be fearful about and talk about, just so they can go out to Walmart and talk to somebody in the checkout line. That's what they're after. David was not like that. He said, I will talk about the works of God. I will talk about what God's done for me in my life. I will meditate on the works of God. And he goes all the way back, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. That was one of the greatest things God did there to date, is that he parted the Red Sea and brought them through on dry land. How awesome is that in comparison to someone trying to kill you? If he can part a Red Sea and bring them through on dry land, why are we worried? If our lives have been put in God's hand, we have given up our bodies, our lives, our minds, our souls to God, why are we worried about a virus coming to kill us?
Yeah.
Our lives are not in our hands. Cracked and dried as they may be. Our lives are in God's hands. And they are solely dependable on Him, not our health care providers.
Right.
And we should take precautions. We should not be totally stupid about things.
I'm not saying go around licking doorknobs or nothing.
No, we should take precautions, but we shouldn't just panic.
But we shouldn't trust in those precautions.
We should trust the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. We need to be trusting in God, not our precautions. There are 2-week leaves, paid leaves, for people who are diagnosed with coronavirus. So I do know people going around licking doorknobs just to try and get 2 weeks paid leave off. But that is not what we need to be doing.
I met one yesterday.
Yes, and they don't care. They're just dirty. And I shook a guy's hand yesterday, and I'm pretty sure I couldn't feel his hand through the grime and whatever else. Yeah, I washed my hands like 8 times. That's a precaution. Do I trust in washing my hands to keep me from getting sick?
It helps.
It helps. It's a precaution. It's what you should do. God says be clean. Again, following God's commandments will stop all this, but we're getting on to that. But we focus on the blessings and power of God, not what we do to prevent it. Because buying toilet paper never prevented a thing. That's all I'm saying. He never said that God did all this so he'll take care of my problems. He instead ended with knowing who God was and knew that justice would be done because he was in control. Ultimately, God owns this world. Ultimately, God tells you the end of this world. The end of this world does not end with a virus killing everybody. It ends in a fiery battle that will burn up the whole world. And fire kills viruses. So that's another good reason to believe that this virus is not the end of the world.
And we won't be here when that happens.
And we won't be there when that happens. So what are we worried about anyway?
Yeah.
So that all this hysteria and madness is based in nothing more but earthly fear. And the Christians of this world have bought into it so much that they believe that God's telling them that this is the apocalypse. This is what's going to happen. And so we need to get ready. I do believe that we should preach readiness for the end of the world at all times, but not in the way of buying toilet paper and canned goods. We ought to preach, how is your heart with Jesus? Where do you stand? Do you rely on Jesus Christ for all your needs, spiritual and mental and otherwise? Or do you rely on the news media and hand sanitizer to keep you safe from death and hell? Most people that are afraid to die are going to hell. Because there obviously is nothing more for them that is beneficial. If this virus were to kill me, I'd hate it for my family, but I'd sure love it for me. What we need to do is start letting go of this world and letting go of all the reasons we had to stay here outside of family. God put us here for our family. He did not put us here so we can do some great work on earth and make us so awesome. He didn't put us here to make money. He didn't put us here to put money in other people's pockets. He put us here for His good, our good and His glory. Man was created for God's glory, not for man's whatever. Our own pride is stupid and foolish and not the way we are to go. Remember God in this time of panic and trouble and try to focus on where you're at. Do you focus on His good and mercies to get you through the everyday? Or do you focus on Fox News and all the terror going around right now? David has an important lesson here. Trust God, keep His commandments, and that's all you need to do. And be clean. That's in the Bible.
That's right.
I'd have found that verse and read it maybe. Yeah. But trust God, keep His commandments, fear Him, and not a virus.
Amen.
Amen.